Be opening your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. While you're turning there, I'm going to read a passage of Scripture from James in connection with the comments that Rick made before leading prayer. This is from James 4, beginning in verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve and mourn, or grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now to the passage I've chosen, the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know the passage very well, the chapter, it's only 13 verses, but do follow along in your Bible while I read. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror, and then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Now that's where the lesson will come from this morning. Most of you could write your own lesson from this chapter. But I'm going to take just a few minutes to go over some things that I've prepared. As you know from our studies and our adult class here on Sunday morning, the first few chapters that we've gone through, and even the information we talked about this morning from chapter 6, the church in Corinth had its problems. As a matter of fact, I think probably most of you have been able to gather that the church in Corinth had many problems. Paul, inspired by the Spirit, dealt with those problems. One of the problems that Paul dealt with is that of spiritual gifts. Not necessarily that there was a problem with spiritual gifts. There wasn't, because they came from God. But they were misused. And they were abused. I hope that you'll think about that a little bit and take that information to heart. Because even something that's good can be misused, misapplied, and abused. And it can be a problem. So keep that in mind. In the midst of the discourse on spiritual gifts, and this involves chapters 12, 13, and 14, but in the midst of that, you have 13 verses in chapter 13, that deal with the subject of love. Or is it about spiritual gifts? You might want to think about that one. The topic, as I said, is spiritual gifts. And love is a part of that discourse. Paul doesn't begin writing in chapter 12 about spiritual gifts and then all of a sudden decide to take a little break and write about love and then pick up with spiritual gifts again in chapter 14. So again, keep that in mind. The topic, as I said, is spiritual gifts. And we need to learn the lesson that's contained in just that thought, that he deals with that in chapters 12, 13, and 14. Love according to God in the last part of this is the most excellent way, it is in the ending of verse 12 of chapter 12, and now I will show you the most excellent way, not the ending of 13, but the ending of 12. I will show you the most excellent way, or as some translations put it, a more excellent way. Love is far more than just a word. The word that's used here in chapter 13 for love is the Greek word agape. And I know that some people say, well, if you have to talk about Greek, then you're talking over everyone and you don't need to go there. But what I do need to tell you is that there are at least three different words in the New Testament, and they're all three translated love, and they're different words and they have different meanings. So keep that in mind. There's Philadelphos, which has to do with brotherly love. There's Eros, which has to do with emotional or erotic love. And then there is agape, which deals with what we call commonly Christian love. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. That's the love of the will. What I would challenge you to do is to learn the meaning of this word, love, in chapter 13. Just put it that way. Learn what Paul is talking about when he uses the word love in chapter 13. It is the word agape. That is the Greek word. This information, again, in chapter 13 is vital to our understanding of the use of spiritual gifts or the problem of spiritual gifts in the church in Corinth. And in these 13 short verses, he writes of God's most excellent way concerning spiritual gifts and everything else. The most excellent way is the way of a mature body of Christ. And again, to